now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Hello, Tucson. Hello, world. Happy Saturday. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. I hope you are staying cool out there. Ha ha. If you're in your car, you're not. I hope all is well in your world. I hope you tuned in last week because it was high anxiety. It was probably the hottest show I ever had. And this week we have the greenest topic in the world to talk about. Agreed? We're talking about organic gardening, and we have two in-studio guests from two different organizations, which is awesome. One is Rich Johnson from Tucson Organic Gardeners, and another is the Queen Frog. You know, I was going to say that. Holly Hutchison from the Community Gardens of Tucson, and I'm quoting her. She wrote a wonderful email about being married to the handsome prince and that you were the green frog. Admit it. Say it right on air, Holly.
Okay, I'll admit it. How did you get a hold of that? I didn't send that to you.
Prince, Cindy Windy. There are no secrets, but it was a great email, and I was going to ask you if I can put it on my blog. So we're going to talk about gardening. From what everything I can read, is the fastest growing hobby in the country. It's catching on like wildfire, hydroponic, raised gardens, organic gardening, and thank God, because there's a lot of reasons for that. If you have questions, please call in for Rich or Holly, and of course we will try to get them answered. If they don't know or I don't know, we'll get back to you. 520-880-5678, 520-880-KNST. Now let's go to our caller, because we have our buddy Randy Altergott, married to Naomi Altergott, that's his claim to fame in my world, from TEP, who is going to talk to us about really a great energy saving ideas for your air conditioner. Randy, am I right?
Well, I hope so. Good afternoon to you and to
Hi,
your
Randy.
Guest.
So go ahead. What do you have? I mean, I'm like becoming the rep, saving money on AC costs, and you're.
Yeah, I thought that might be appropriate at least this time of year. I hope so. But one of the things people are always trying to do is save money on their air conditioning costs. And, of course, in the middle of summer, now it's cooled off a little. We finally got a little rain, but it's still kind of muggy, and people are still running their AC, obviously. So my first tip on that is to make sure that your air conditioning unit is running properly. And if it seems to have to run a lot to cool your house down, or if you live in an apartment, that type of thing, you want to make sure you have somebody come out and take a look at it. If you don't own, have a landlord to have somebody take a look at it, a licensed contractor. But if you own your home, then, we have a list of licensed contractors on our website, which is TEP.com. But, again, the most important thing is to make sure that your AC unit is running the way it's supposed to, that it's cooling correctly, because if it's not, it's just going to cost you a lot of money and you're not going to be comfortable.
And it's going to use more energy. So,
oh, absolutely.
Right. Now, it's so funny because we had an AC problem this week. And I mean, my friend Kathy will be so happy, but Kathy Rankin from Temco, it's really nice to know someone in the business when this happens, because I'll tell you what, it is hot to not have AC. We don't have an alternative with an evaporative cooler. So Temco came out and took care of it. How important is it as a homeowner to have clean filters? How often do you have to change the filters, really?
Well, that would be my next tip, is to make sure that you always have a clean filter. Typical filters you want to replace once a month. Some people have filters that they can clean and they put back in. You want to make sure you periodically clean those. Again, I would recommend at least once a month. And if you have real high efficiency filters, which you can buy at hardware stores or Home Depot, okay, that filter the air a lot better, they can last a little longer, but they will also clog up because they filter the air so much better. So you want to make sure you at least inspect them once a month, and if they're starting to get very dirty, you want to replace them.
And I'm sure Mr. Green is listening. Do you have a third tip, or is there something else I can add?
Well, for me, I would say that the third tip is to make sure you have your thermostat set at a setting where you're comfortable but high enough where it's not costing you extra money to run. And again, if from TEP, we recommend a setting of 78 degrees. And for some people, that's not quite cool enough, so you want to try to keep it as high as you can. I would certainly tell people to at least be at 76 or above. And if you find yourself having to set your thermostat very low to be comfortable, that's one of the signs that maybe your air conditioner is not working correctly.
Randy, I am not kidding. You know me, and you know that this is like this is cracking me up, because that was the next thing I was going to bring up. I am not kidding. And Mr. Green always listens, so he's cracking up. In our house, we could do a YouTube video over the battle of the thermostats. And I keep my office area at 78 and that part of the house, and Mr. Green keeps it at 76. So one day my daughter and I put on hoodies, and we wrap them around our head, because 76 with a really good air conditioner is freezing to us. So he's getting a chuckle out of that, and so am I. But it would be a great TEP YouTube video. And I do it because I feel noble and I've gotten used to it. But it really does save on your energy bills.
Actually, pretty substantially. If you find yourself able to increase the thermostat setting 2 or 3 degrees, you definitely see a noticeable decrease in your electric bill.
Right, and I always do it to the next level. It's like decrease your electric bill, and we don't have to burn as much electricity for the planet. So it's a win-win. I will tell you, I do not think I am going to win the battle of the thermostat. Last night, as soon as Mr. Green went to bed, we put it up again. And I said, he'll go and check it. So thank you so much. Thanks for TEP being such a good sponsor of Mrs. Green. And for all of the great things you do, your website is content rich on energy savings. So I hope people will go to TEP.com. There's Bright Solution. There's the energy calculator, which I don't know if I'm ever going to do that. There's the time of use. There's the Bright Solutions family, Otto Bright. When I got a tweet from him one day, I thought, I'm like, who's this? A young person tweeted me? So thank you for calling in on this Saturday. And those were great tips.
Well, you're very welcome. And, again, we want people to go to our website for just all kinds of information, and that's TEP.com. And you have a very good afternoon.
Okay, and say hello to Naomi for me.
I sure will.
Okay, take care, Randy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Randy Altergott from TEP. When you start reading about this stuff, there is so much information about easy ways to save energy and what costs you for a filter. Not that I even know where the filter is on my air conditioner, but it does save you money. So it's great, and it saves energy. So I love it. Okay, let me just say a word about Chapman, my sponsor. It's just amazing to me. I saw this video that it was Ted Chapman's idea, and I'm getting involved in a group called Imagine Greater Tucson, because I do Imagine Greater Tucson, and he imagined it. And he made a video, and I'm going to get it up on my Facebook fan page, because he thought of it. It's a great short video commercial. Marcus Beaumont, who's the marketing director there, did it. So it's what Tucson could look like, and I love it. First class, looks like it was made in L.A. I'm sorry to say that. It doesn't look like a hometown commercial. So I wanted to bring that. And how much? We have like 30 seconds. Okay. Don't forget about my contest, Who is the Greenest of Them All? And Holly Hutchison might be one of them. News Talk 790, KNST, Mrs. Green. Everything you wanted to know about organic gardening when we come back.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST, on this really actually beautiful Saturday. The clouds are forming, and I know that if I could be away from Tucson in the summer, I would miss the monsoons. I would. So I don't have to worry about that, really. So I'm here. We have two in-studio guests today that are talking about a wonderful topic, one of the fastest-growing hobbies in the country. Rich Johnson is from Tucson Organic Gardeners, and Holly Hutchison is from Tucson, from the Community Gardens. Okay. Now, this is what I think is funny, and it could be because I'm a whirling dervish. When I wrote it up, I wrote up that they were both from Tucson Organic Gardeners, and they're not. So we are going to have the art of conversation. They're certainly not competitors, because
no.
in this arena, all I see is helpfulness, volunteerism, community. The stories I read about gardeners and their willingness to give of their time and their expertise blows me away. So let's say, Holly, tell us We'll start with you.
Okay.
And tell us, because I know the most about yours, and then we'll go to Rich. We'll do, it's not going to be point, counterpoint. It's going to be point, point, point,
right.
point. Okay, so go ahead.
So the Tucson Community Gardens is a community-based gardens where people don't have room or don't have, you know, they live in apartments, they live in condominiums, they don't have room. And some people have room, but they just enjoy gardening with other people. So there are plots all over Tucson that are dedicated to community garden. And it's about $15 a month, and that pays for the water supplies and the water that goes into the garden. And then you garden with another group, a whole community of people. And it's all organic, so that's one of the stipulations we have, is we have to do organic gardening.
And you really know it's organic, because I've been out there with
yes, you do.
And there is not any, unless someone's coming secretly in the middle of the night, it's
no.
organic,
yeah.
and it's like, even for me, a little bit too much information about organic, but we're going to talk about that here on the show. So I this is when I wish we had to tie into a video feed on a TV show, because Holly brought me the most beautiful basket of fresh fruits and vegetables. Tomato is a fruit. I know that. I've evolved. And some this beautiful eggplant, mm-hmm. spider eggplant. Is that what you called
it? A variegated, purple variegated.
I changed that word. And this is a squash.
It's an Asian squash.
Squash. It's mm-hmm. beautiful. It's like a picture. And she put it in a basket with a green ribbon on it. Like, I'm really
well,
impressed.
It is Mrs. Green.
It is Mrs. Green. Now, what I have to tell you is, in my evolution, going out to this plot where you have yours with Teddy mm-hmm. is, it's let's give a really good visual. It's plots of land that you have. You plant what you want.
Right.
You do everything from
right.
seed to nuts, so
right.
to speak.
We have a 20 by 3 foot gardening space.
You have
so
to
each
water
plot.
It?
No, it's automatically watered. We have a drip irrigation system because it's much more effective in the desert. If we had to hand water, it would be a disaster.
We're going to have a whole segment for both of you on composting. I don't want to get there because I have more questions about composting than I think anything
right.
as Mrs. Green. You have chickens out there?
We have chickens out there. We have a whole composting facility.
Because
and each garden
chicken poop leads to really good vegetables. That's
absolutely.
All I can say.
Absolutely.
Is that true? I mean,
yeah.
there's no other
and all
way
the,
to say it.
All the leftover.
What else would I call it?
All the leftover garden material makes really good eggs because the chickens eat it and they have really high omega-3 content then in their eggs. And really good nutrition in chickens leads to really good eggs.
The difference in organic eggs that we buy now versus the other, the shells,
mm-hmm.
oh, my gosh, just that, the color of the yolk,
mm-hmm.
you get back to real food. And I find myself now, like, I cannot eat a tomato that's not an organic tomato from
mm-hmm.
the farmer's market. I don't like tomatoes at all. I think they're hard, rubberized, red things. And
yeah.
We ate in our family 17 tomatoes this week.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I know it is because James bought 20,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Green, but everybody knows his name is James. He's not undercover. And we have 3 left, and we mm-hmm. just we eat them for dinner. I mean,
yeah.
they are so out of this world, and these that you brought are delicious. So you buy, you rent the spot.
Mm-hmm.
You help each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
It's community at its most basic.
So what
I mean,
do you have growing out there now?
Right now I have just what I brought you. I have a lot of tomatoes, eggplant, peppers. Some of my other gardener, I didn't put in squash specifically this year because for me I would rather have fresh tomatoes. But there's tons of squash out there right now.
Does corn ever work here?
Corn, we always have a hard time, and Rich may have to address that. He may have a little more experience. We don't have big enough plot areas, and it's very hard, in my experience, to get the proper fertilization of the stalk or the ears so that you don't get really good seed set in the
right,
ears.
Right, right, and it all matters out here in,
mm-hmm.
in the desert. Southwest.
It wouldn't be something I would waste my time and water on, let's put it that way.
Okay. So it's not really a good crop.
Well, for me, in a small garden plot, it's not. And I don't know. I think some of the Tucson organic gardeners probably have larger plots with more space and probably some drought-hardy, drought-tolerant corn as well.
Now, I have tried the one of the Hopi-type varieties of corn. And it was a couple of years ago when we had those two very wet Julys in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And both times... They grew real fast. It was supposed to be a 60-day corn from seed to harvest. And,
mm-hmm.
and sure enough, it was about 65 days or so, but the harvest was very small. It was very bug-prone,
mm-hmm.
and it was it was difficult.
That's what I've heard.
Rich, let's go. I want to say that everybody who's listening, you always know that you can contact people through me. Lots more of you are. So if you want to get in touch with Holly, we're coming back to you. But it's communitygardensoftucson.org is their website. And Rich, I spent a lot of time on the Tucson Organic Gardeners website this morning. It's amazing. I mean, all that you do. And the first question I have, give us a little bit of the history. Amazing history. I read the history page. Yeah. So you've really evolved and been around a long time, and I see you all doing things everywhere.
Yes, although I've only been involved with the organization for 3 years now, TOG as a group has been around since the 60s. I was looking through some of the data that I've collected now that I'm the president. I was just elected president this year. I'm now the holder of all the miscellaneous files.
The data.
All the data, yeah. And, you know, a couple of boxes worth. Anyway, they filed for their first charter with their bylaws in about 1971. So it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. So you're president, so you've been involved 3 years and you're already president, so that says something. Tell me, he's laughing. You can't see that on TV, on radio. But tell me about the mission of the Tucson Organic Gardeners, picture.
Our primary thing is to stay organic, to put as little nasty stuff into the environment as possible, and to educate the public about ways to do that. That's it in a nutshell.
And that's good. I like short mission statements. And you have things on your website. We could talk about it. This is another one of those, you know, possible two-hour shows. So you have meetings. And so do people that are wanting to learn about gardens, are they coming? Like, I just can't even, like, get my head around it. I don't have a garden. We have all desert landscaping, but I know it's in my future someday. So if I wanted to know, could you help people with gardening 101? This is a seed.
Yes, we actually offer classes that will take you from the planning stage right through knowing what to plant and when to plant it.
There's a lot of moving parts to
how
do
to
it in garden.
How to prep the soil. There's a lot of stuff.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And I that's another one. I read this huge article about erosion of topsoil in the world. We're just grinding it up, and it's a huge another at risk issue. So you have classes.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yes, we will have a couple of garden festivals every year. We're going to have one this fall on October 2nd. And we will be offering lots of information at that time, even impromptu little composting classes if need be at that time.
Where is that going to be?
That is going to be at the St. Mark's Church, which is at the 3800 block of 3rd Street. We also do composting there, active composting there. We sell compost bins there. And there is a community garden, however, it is not affiliated with the Tucson Community Garden Group. It actually is owned and run by St. Mark's Church. And I actually garden there as well as at my own house.
They are so green. Can you just tell us a little bit about what will happen at the festival and make sure I get the information so that I can spread the word too? Because I want to go now. I want to go.
Yeah.
I want to buy some really good vegetables. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, imminently we will have an ad on our website that will tell all the details, but we're going to have all kinds of vendors there, all green vendors, people offering information and literature about what they do, water harvesters, people. There'll be somebody there probably with the buffle grass concerns.
Oh, my gosh, no
and,
kidding.
You know, just a number of different things, quite a variety. We will be there offering plants for sale. We actually sort of contract that out and get somebody to grow them for us, but there will be all kinds of winter-geared plants for sale there. So you'll be able to just take them home and plop them right down in your garden.
So people are ready then to just do it, and it makes it easy. That's how I feel about most of this world. If you can make it easier for people instead of more complex, because, I mean, I really joke, but I have so much respect for Holly and how she walks the walk. And I think when we come back, we really should talk about composting because it's going to be a long subject. I think it really challenges people. If you have questions, we'd love you to call in and talk to Rich or Holly. News Talk 790 KNST, organic gardening, hot topic, and we're going to hear from our buddy Scott in studio, Legendary World. Love it. Thank you for tuning in. It's like, get the timing perfect. I'm getting all kinds of signs here. I don't want to start composting, so just stay tuned. Again, News Talk 790 KNST, don't touch that dial. We will be right back. Organic gardening at its finest.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Saturday. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790KNST. And our buddy Scott is back. And you're going to talk about one of my favorite things. I love the word. I love all the new words in sustainability. Staycations.
Good morning, Mrs. Green.
Good morning. So what are you going to tell us about staycations?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I actually can't stand the word. I don't know why. It's been driving me nuts since I got
that's
into it.
That's because you have an iPhone.
Yeah, really, that's probably part of it. Anyway, no, staycations, you know, very simple concept. And again, with the green, you know, aspect of it is, again, rather than getting on a plane, flying down to Mexico or flying over to San Diego, it's just being able to pop over to a local resort, local hotel, even friends, and hang out by the pool and stuff. And, you know, it's economical. It's buying local, which is another big part of kind of, you know, the movement we've been involved in.
So what's one of your favorite places to staycate?
My favorite here in Tucson is Los Ventana Canyon. It's just
not a problem for me to stay there.
It's a beautiful building. It's up on the hillside, overlooks Tucson. It's gorgeous. They've got an amazing pool. It's great for the kids. So, again, you get, you know, even just one night. So you get up on a Saturday morning, cruise up there, check in. Brian Johnson, who's a general manager and friend of both of ours, is just a great guy, and it's just an amazing resort. But you hang out by the pool during the day. The kids can do dive-in movies at night, and they actually give away popcorn
so
and
much
candy.
And, I mean, it's so much fun. One of the things that really James and I started doing that, Mr. Green on the show, before it was in, we would say, why are we driving 2.5 hours when some of the prettiest places are here? And talk about smoking deals in the summer. People spend $350 a night for flying here from all over the country and the world to stay at Lowe's,
right.
And you can stay for a drastically reduced rate
if
your staycation is here.
Yeah,
that's a great one, Scott.
Great.
Love
and
it. Love
you know,
it. Love
one of my favorite spots. The other thing that's fun up there, too, if you decide to do that, is on Sunday mornings, they have a great brunch they call Blues, Brews, and Barbecue.
Love it.
And
on Sundays?
On Sundays, live music, local tap beer, barbecue, and it's a great way to spend Sunday morning, even if you're not staying up there. That's just kind of another little getaway
to support
Sunday.
And they have tableside guacamole at the Flying V. Love that. They'll make it fresh, and it's really fun. I also think it's important to know, because Brian told me this, that they're doing a lot in sustainability. They're looking at the entire organization. So they're working on, and they're calling it a sustainability statement, a green statement. They're part of a larger program and movement to really make a commitment to see what can we do to take it to the next level. And that matters to me
a lot.
Yeah,
they've got some beautiful hiking trails up behind there. So again,
have you done any of those hiking trails?
No,
I have.
Oh, my gosh.
They are. And like I said, people come from all over the world. So if you do a staycation, stay in one of our gorgeous local resorts.
Yeah, and Lowe's is actually part of our signature hotel program, so feel free to call us at Legendary World. We can definitely set you up with that, and they'll include complimentary breakfast and some other goodies as well.
Always, and
I want to
make sure people know they can find Scott through me, MrsGreensWorld.com, or you can go to LegendaryWorld.com, and Scott and his staff will be really happy to help you. They're a great team, and he's local, so we love that. Thanks for being on, Scott.
Thanks, Mrs. Green.
Okay, and I forgot to add another thing about the miracle of social media. I am a Facebook nut now, mostly because of Mrs. Green. I'm tired, I went to bed, I have a headache, but I am very much looking at social media websites and messaging. And today I happened to be on looking up different Facebook pages, and Lowe's has a special, $79 a night. I mean, people, it saves gas, it saves money. You are helping people locally be employed. So I think that's another thing for the staycation, and I happen to really like that word. So in studio today, everybody, is Rich Johnson, Tucson Organic Gardeners, and Holly, our friend Holly Hutchison from Community Gardens of Tucson. And I would really like to talk about composting, but I have a question for each of you first. Are both organizations all volunteer staff?
Yes, 100%.
So that's Tucson Organic, both of you. And and when I think about the amount of things that you do, that's pretty impressive. I love it. So let's talk about composting. First of all, tell people what it is, because there are some people that might not know what it is. I know what it is now, but tell, what is composting? Demystify it.
Yeah, well, the simple answer is that it's just the breaking down of organic matter into something that's more useful to the environment, especially the soil and plants.
Okay, I love that. A simple answer. Okay, so organic matter, I get what that is. So you don't want to put your shoes in it. Well, maybe unless
so it depends
just,
on if they're made out of hemp.
Yeah, those hemp
awesome.
Shoes, I can clean my closet out now. Okay, so can everybody compost? Like
absolutely.
Just two people, what would they compost if they didn't have a lot of waste? Tell me kinds of things you put in compost and where you put it. We have to talk about how easy and how complicated it can get.
Well, Rich is probably more of a neck. I'm composting for dummies, but it's just my husband and I.
Please
coffee grounds.
Elaborate on that because you're looking at she who does not compost. So let's
coffee
give one
grounds, all those little bits you cut off the end of vegetables when you eat them. You don't finish your plate of food. You eggshells, just about anything that is organic in your kitchen, you can put into the composter.
So coffee grounds and eggshells and all mm-hmm. that. Now, what if it isn't organic? What if you buy regular tomatoes? Is that going to hurt?
Oh, no. That's organic material. It's
right.
a carbon-based
it's
material.
It's just a different interpretation of the word in this case.
Right.
Okay, so anybody can. Now, I have heard stories when I interviewed this woman, I'll never forget it. She was doing worm composting. She dropped the container in her living room carpet. So that was like ixnay on that whole system. No worms, I don't want that. So, Rich, what would be your number one way for composters for the mainstream people? You guys are golden. You're heroes. Tell me what you would do for me, Mrs. Mainstream.
Yeah, the simplest thing to do is just to get yourself a compost bin. And that's something as simple and as small as a recycle bin that you would have at your house right now.
With a lid on it, right?
Those 92-gallon compost bins. We actually take the old ones that the city has scrapped due to a bit of damage here or there, and we convert those into compost bins and then sell those. And with that, and it just takes up that little bit of space, you can compost as much as you need for a small garden bed.
Mm-hmm. And it's how much would a small composting bin cost if you bought it? Like if you went into a locally owned store and you bought a composting bin?
We sell one commercial brand. It costs $50.
The Tucson Organic Gardener sells them?
Yes,
awesome.
We sell them. And we also sell that one I mentioned that we actually recycle into a composting bin, and we sell that for $40.
So $50.
Yes,
isn't
very
that
cheap.
A huge
can't go wrong.
It's true. Okay, and what did you get?
Well, okay, I'm total composting for dummies. So I had to promise my husband we weren't going to have some big thing in the backyard, and it was, he was sure I wasn't going to stay on it, and so I broke down and bought one of the Nature Mill machines that basically composts for you.
So
nice
you
thing about it is
you
can put meat
in
it. You can put your dog's poop in it, believe it or not. How disgusting is that? But it just does it for you. There's a really simple formula. It heats it. It rotates it. And once every couple of weeks, you push a button and it drops it down into this bin and it comes out all your junk that you put in it or all your refuse comes out as dirt.
Raw meat and cooked meat.
Well, I don't know. I haven't put raw meat in, but, leftovers from your plate, the cooked meat.
Right. Okay.
But this is a little different because it gets up to 120 degrees, so it stays really hot, so it kills the bad things. Yeah, it's plugged in, but it runs on very, very little energy.
And then if you don't have a garden, what do you do with the composting?
Well, do you have pots at your house
or
any kind of plants?
Yes, a lot of plants.
Everything. It will amend the soil on your plants. Your plants won't need as much water because the compost holds a lot more water into it. Your pots, you won't need to fertilize them regularly with chemicals. Your plants will just blossom. It's amazing to watch the difference.
It's such a good feeling to have plants around. I mean, when I walk up to my front door, it's covered with plants. It just feels good. And in my house, I have to have living things growing.
Yeah.
So you can do the composting for dummies, which I happen to like. Even what you're talking about, do you have to treat it, Rich? Are there things you have to put in if you just have a composting bin and you're using all your scraps?
There are some key things that you need to put in there, the greens that we've already been talking about, scrap vegetables and that sort of thing. But you also need to put in the browns, and that's what a lot of people don't realize about composting. You need the dry leaves.
The greens and the browns. Mm-hmm.
Right, greens and the browns.
Really key.
That's synonymous for nitrogen and carbon.
Okay.
And you got to get a little bit of a balance there. There's a balance that needs to be struck, but it's approximate, and you just kind of wing it, and it ends up working out just fine.
So is chicken coop waste a brown?
That's a green.
It's a green.
That's a green. Very high nitrogen.
Okay.
Very high
nitrogen. But okay. Mm-hmm. High energy, full of good nutrition. Okay.
Yeah, the manure is from animals that are vegetarians. It's also very good, from sheep, cows,
horses. Okay, we're going to go to a quick break. Time flies when you're having fun talking about composting. Rich Johnson and Holly Hutchison talking about organic gardening. We'll be right back. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790. More fun stuff. I want to talk about pesticides and pests. We'll be right back.
790 KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. And before we get back to our wonderful guests, Rich Johnson from Tucson Organic Gardeners and Holly Hutchison from the Community Gardens of Tucson, it's, you know, that's a mouthful for both of those. I want everybody to remember that there's a wonderful contest going on at MrsGreensWorld.com. And Holly is one of the nominees. This is a chance to plug you.
Vote for me.
Vote for Holly.
Vote often.
It wasn't cute. I don't even like that word, but it was a wonderful email that you sent around. Humorous and really articulating the queen frog and the prince that lets her do all this stuff. It was really very good. So visit MrsGreensWorld.com and vote for your favorite Who is the Greenest
There's
of them all.
There's some good candidates.
There's some really
good
candidates. Brad Lancaster, it was nominated. And Jason from the Fairfax Companies. Mm-hmm. I am not allowed to nominate, but I am allowed to vote because I can't sway the votes. You can only vote once a day. So vote for Holly. That's really great. And I'm voting for every candidate.
Yeah, you have
like,
to, Gina.
I have to have balance. So, Rich, can you think of a situation? I'm so, like almost morbidly obsessed about pesticides because people don't understand that they're killing a bug from getting in their house, but they might be killing their pets. They might be giving their children cancer. I'm not kidding. When you read about it, there's nothing good about pesticides. Nothing. I'm sorry. I'm all or nothing on this one. Under any circumstances, can you imagine using a pesticide?
I don't use them at all. I just stay away from it. I try to keep my garden as healthy as possible, and that minimizes the pest situation. And what pests I do get, I for the most part, I do hand picking. I'll actually pick them off by hand.
Have we become pest phobic?
I think we have, for the most part.
It's like, what are they going to do? We grew up with them. It's like,
Let's call out the SWAT team, and that's all we need.
Right, let's call out and shoot them with bug spray so they die, and then everything else around them dies too. Holly, what about you? Can you think of it? I don't even need to ask you.
Well, I can't. No, absolutely. I can't think of it. Wouldn't even use, I won't use it in my garden. I certainly won't spray with bug spray in my home, because then you just kill the predators, and you end up creating a situation where all those bugs that you're trying to get rid of, whether it's aphids in your garden or crickets in your house, now you don't have any natural predators for them. I mean, when you spray for aphids in your garden, you're killing the cute little ladybugs. Why?
Oh, who could kill a ladybug?
Ladybugs can eat so many.
Oh.
I mean, they eat their weight in, I don't even know what the,
aphids,
there's, they eat aphids, but they eat like, I don't know, it's like 100 or 1,000 times their weight in aphids a day.
And
it's ridiculous.
Magic. I know.
Yeah.
On so many green websites.
And, I mean, you know, the praying mantises, too. Love watching praying mantises.
And then you kill that.
Yeah, you kill those, and now anything, all those things that they eat are gone.
I'd love to know how many millions of dollars and the commercials when I see you can get Raid that lasts 3 months in your house.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, great, you're breathing it in. It's just unbelievable. So we have a question. We have a caller on the line, which is great. I always forget because I get so wrapped up with the guests. If you have a question, 520-880-5678. And we have Cindy on the line. Hey, is this our Cindy? Hello?
One and the same.
So we're loving it. What's your question? And it's not stump the guests.
No. This should be an easy one, I hope. But, you know, as someone who, has trouble, like, cleaning out my email inbox, I'm wondering how much time these fabulous gardeners are spending a month on maintaining and putting in and keeping up their gardens.
Is that a great question, Arat?
Very good question.
So take it away. I, of course, have no clue.
Well, go ahead, Rich.
You do have to plan on spending some time at it. It's not something you're going to get done in 5 minutes a day, especially if you're at the very starting point. Getting a garden started is definite work. Once you're up and running, it's not too bad having a garden here in Tucson, but it does take some time. To give you a number is a little tough to do, but it's going to be in the, a few hours at least every month.
Every month or every week?
Well, depending on what time of year.
Right, and how big your garden is. Is this a good? This is the hardest time of year.
This is tough right now.
Okay, so winter gardens.
Winter garden is the best time.
The best time, and you pretty much okay. Holly, what would you say? How much time do you spend?
You know, again, it depends. It's like punctuated times of a lot of activity. You get especially in planting time.
Punctuated times of a lot of activities, and Cynthia liked that too.
It's, you spend a lot of time at getting things ready and planted, like Rich said. Right now, there's a lot of harvesting going on, a lot of cleaning out of things that are dying off because of the temperature. For example, I planted in the spring all my spring stuff. For about 2 or 3 months, you just go out and make sure things are watering appropriately, that plants are growing, that they're not being overrun with pests. But, you know, maybe a couple hours a week during the calm times.
At the most, yeah.
Yeah,
during
at
the
most.
Times?
During the calmer times, calmer when things times, are growing, okay. the growing okay. times.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it depends on the size, I'm sure, and how
Absolutely.
Many, and the variety.
Right,
and
right.
So a question popped in my head, imagine that, and thank you, Cindy, for calling. That's a great question.
Thank you.
People's time is precious, mm-hmm. so they want to know, and of course, leave it to her to think of that. It's like, yeah, how much time does it take? People want to know.
Yeah.
If you have other questions, 520-880-5678. Rich, I want to ask you this. As a gardener, what do you, I would think with community garden, if something comes in, like on plants, you can go to Harlow's and say, why is my plant looking this color? Do you help each other, and can people call Tucson Organic Gardeners if they have, I don't know what's happening, my plant turned yellow and it's supposed to be green, or my plant turned purple?
Yeah, we do provide some help in that regard. We have a brochure that talks about some of the common bugs that we have around here and what to do about it. And some other organic treatments that you can do. We talked about pesticides. Well, there are actually some organic pesticides. So in that regard, you can do some pesticide.
And I know that's what my person uses, EcoBest.
Yeah,
I mean, they do.
Yeah,
they
if you get overrun.
What? Yeah.
Arbico is a local
Arbico is
outfit,
great.
You know, up in Catalina or somewhere
by
up
Miraval.
That way.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of good stuff that's all organic-based. And I bought some of their stuff, for example, we had a real big problem a couple of years ago with some grubs. They were just eating our roots right to pieces.
Oh, gosh, and they're so awful.
We bought some of their milky spore, put that on there, and next thing you know, we had no grub problem at all.
I've had them on the show. I've interviewed them, and they have, I mean, they ship to all over the world.
Oh, I thought you've interviewed the grubs.
You know, that might be another show.
Wow.
Why I hate pesticides.
Great chickens.
Okay, and chickens, I know. No, but Arbico is another Tucson
Great.
Treasure
mm-hmm.
that
yes.
hardly anybody knows about, but they know about it in Japan. And is it, like, for roses, you guys, this is not exactly, it's you're more with food, but I read when I did have roses that you just spraying them with water forcefully will get aphids off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as long as your infestation isn't too bad,
water
does a pretty good job.
But there are organic alternatives that might want to be a little bit.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the time has flown. There is so much to learn from both of you.
Wait, can I say one thing?
Yes, I want
George
to say,
Brookbank's book, Desert Gardening, is the handbook, the Bible, talking about pests. It tells everything you need to know about. George Brookbank.
Okay.
He was with the U of A for years, and he's on the foundation board of the community gardens. But that book, Gardening in a Desert Gardening, is the Bible.
Okay, and you're run by a board, and who's
mm-hmm.
the driving force at your board?
Well, Gene Zonge is our fearless leader, and believe me, he has to be fearless. It's a tough job.
He's fearless.
Yeah, he's very good.
Oh, my gosh. And, Rich, what about you? You're the head honcho for this year. I just got involved to being president, so we know a lot about your personality. He's a leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a board of 9 people, and we do the best we can to keep it going. We have a speaker series that goes from September through April. We have a speaker every month, the third Tuesday of the month.
Even during the summer?
Not during the
September through April, okay, because nobody's here, I know. And you talk about, for 1 minute, Sunflower Farmers Market.
Yes.
Free green waste.
For composting stuff, one of the questions that we get most often is, where do I get enough composting material to do composting? And sure enough, the Sunflower Market that's up on the corner of First Avenue and Limberlost.
A
right
new
up the
client for Mrs. Green, new
they've,
partner.
They've started putting out all their vegetable waste, which is a significant amount, in their the back of their building, and it's open to the public. Just come and help yourself.
And they said bring your own shovel, bring your own gloves,
bring your own
container to do it.
You will need rubber gloves.
I love it. It's creating a big green community here in Tucson. Both of you, thank you so much. I learned a lot. I hope our listeners did. We learned everything you ever wanted to know about organic gardening, kind of. This could be like a three-hour show. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will hopefully hear from you next week. News Talk 790 KNSD. I am Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, and visit me at MrsGreensWorld.com.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNSD. All about learning that going green can be fun. Visit MrsGreenGoesMainstream.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNSD.